Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 158, episode 7 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Friday, November 6th, 2020. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I think Georgia just turned blue, and Pennsylvania, too. That is courtesy of Christy. I'm Gucci Mane, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
That's right! We're gonna go to Washington, and Wisconsin, and Michigan, and Pennsylvania, and Georgia, and then we're gonna take back the White House!
Yeah! Sure. There you go. You can finally use that scream properly. Looks like, you know, we called it, because we're not cowards over here.
Yeah, boy.
But surreal times. It's like the weirdest, I think the weirdest time of like a, you're like, oh good, the candidate of the two that I'd want won, yet you're still like, it's at least we are dealing with, on paper, it looks like Joe Biden will be the president-elect. It's all, now we're like entering just the next part of like, okay, so now what's this fool gonna do?
Yeah, exactly. It seems like, at least for the foreseeable future, we're not going to get the, you know, concession speech that we were all waiting for, where he just suddenly, for the first time in his life, allows reality in. Mm. Before we get to any of that shit, we have a great guest today who we are thrilled to have with us. Kick off the new era. Our first guest from the Biden era. A little ray of sunshine for all of us. She is the hilarious, the talented Blair Saki. Hey, hey,
hey. Oh, what's up, Daily Zeitgeist?
Oh, shit.
Back in the fucking mix. Let's do this, bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
What's up?
I missed you all.
Sun's out,
yeah.
Guns out. We missed you.
Out of my fucking mind over here. I don't know, up from down. Hoping it all shakes out sometime soon.
You got this.
It seems like the reality turning against Trump and his followers is just causing things to accelerate in a direction of them like not accepting reality, as opposed to like any sort of satisfying conclusion. It's just they are sprinting away from the planet that we exist on faster and faster now.
You think there's going to be like a theme park / community you can live in, like called like MAGA World, where you will just go and like you can live in that like a quite literally a physical bubble to just be like, you know what? Fuck the rest of it. Like we need to like, you know, their version of where like people are like, I'm going to Canada.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're going to MAGA
World. And they all just
world.
Wear like LL Bean and like clean their guns.
Right.
Yeah. LL Bean.
Yeah. Wow. Back off LL Bean, Blair.
Well, I just thought that was very highbrow of them. You big LL Bean fan, Jack?
Okay, LL Bean.
Look at my outfit. I'm full. I'm head to toe
like...
LL Bean right now, you guys.
LL Bean J.
A little bit of LL Bean and then also Bass Pro Shops like mixed together.
Yeah. Oh, they'll move into that one Bass Pro Shop that's like shaped like a pyramid.
Yeah. Bass Pro Shop is like, I think a lot of the libs in their lib bubble might not realize that Bass Pro Shop has turned into like a Disney World attraction, like theme park. Like you can go fishing inside of a Bass Pro Shop, basically.
I've never been inside one, but the outside of it, like, I gotta be honest, there's something enticing about it. Like, I don't know if it's because I want to find like a lumberjack or some shit, but
find one.
Yeah.
You know what I just heard that was really interesting that has nothing to do with what we're talking about today?
Mm-hmm.
I heard that the whole grunge movement is the result of basically like all the lumber jobs moving out of America in the late 80s, early 90s. And all those like artists' dads basically got laid off. And so the whole grunge movement is just the kids of laid off lumberjacks like being very angsty and like having like really economic like difficulties like kind of infuse the soul of their music. And then like aesthetically, that's why they had all those leftover
flannels
is because their dads just like were out of work without flannels.
With the rock history, cool. Rock and roll.
I like that it all just boiled like, and that's why there's so much flannel.
Yeah, isn't that interesting though? I have not fact checked that. That was just a idea.
It tracks
that,
in my mind.
Yeah, it tracks.
Even though I know nothing of the logging industry and the migration of jobs, but I like that. I like the logic.
Yeah. Now I know how like all the flannel got to be in my closet.
Yeah, exactly. That's where it came from. All those unemployed lumberjacks. All right, Blair.
Yeah.
Do we even have to pre-cap? I mean, people know what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the election. We're going to talk about whether the president's going to accept the reality that he lost. We're going to talk about what will happen if he does not accept the reality that he lost. We're going to talk about all the takes about black women saved us. We're going to talk about pizza, all of that, plenty more. But first, Blair. We like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about how you've been distracting yourself?
Okay. I've been doing a lot of distracting, but the first thing on my search history was Riverdale Country School. It's a college prep school in the Bronx, and Chevy Chase went there. Anyways, I looked it up because like a guy I matched with on Hinge had it on his profile. I don't know why. And I was like, oh, is that the same school that famed singer I love, Lady Gaga, went to? And it turned out with further research that was a place called Sacred Heart.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so really you went from being like Chevy Chase, the only reason I was here to make sure it was the Gaga School of Talent.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, that was emblazoned like in there. You'll have to forgive me for I'm not familiar with the dating app layout. Like you would list. Is that like him just saying my name is Riverdale Country School, or he's saying, just so you know, I also went to Riverdale Country School?
Well, you can list your education, and most people like list whatever their last level of education was.
Got it.
Listed like his colleges and his high school.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
So the implication is, yeah, no big deal. But I went to Riverdale Country School. So, yeah.
I said, you get it. Wikipedia, bitch.
Is it like, did anybody besides Chevy Chase, like did presidents go there or something?
Yeah, actually, JFK Sr. and Bobby Kennedy went there also.
And
many more dignitaries, but you know, I chose to focus on Chevy Chase.
Is that what, like, you do you put that on there to say like, yo, I went to Chevy Chase school, or you're saying like, I could be the next Kennedy, you never know.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not sure really what this guy's motivation
angle is. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. What is something you think is underrated?
Okay, something that has come to my attention as underrated is the sheer magnitude of sunglasses. I mean, the amount of men that I have been forced to swipe left on because of sunglasses is fucking crazy, upsetting. Like, just let me love you, you know? just
Wait,
kidding.
Because they are wearing sunglasses like, and you're just like, photos? Enough?
No, they're just like brutal choices. Like a lot of wraparound Bass Pro Shop sunglasses. And or things like that. And it's like, honey, just let some women give you a classic shape, you know? But like, yeah, I can't. I just sometimes when I see a sunglasses can tell you so much about a person. And like, I'm like, oh, man, this man could have a really good heart, but I cannot fuck this person with those sunglasses. You know, those fucking Oakleys, honey, get those off. Get those in the trash.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
There's no part of you that just wants to save an Oakley wearing loser and like be like,
no, I'm too old for saving. Done a lot of that. Yeah. But yeah, I do have an avoidant attachment style. A few of my friends have brought to my attention that, you know, sunglasses can be changed.
what would you prefer? Like, what's the sunglass you will accept that you will right swipe for those who are, you know, seeking your approval?
I mean, I think a Persol is like a hot sunglasses on a guy, or fancy. Like a classic Ray-Ban, a black Ray-Ban. I like a classic frame.
You don't feel like a Wayfarer is kind of like, meh, like the manila
envelope
of sunglasses?
Not like a red Wayfarer. Not like a colored Wayfarer.
Not ones, honey. You got at like a sort of event for like a bunch of pharmaceutical companies where you're like, these
no,
are
like,
cool.
I'm talking like a Pierce Brosnan, like, or JFK Jr. like sunglass frame.
Or like a, what is that, the Clubmaster? What's that other one?
I'm not sure.
The Clubmaster that has like the little bit, like the more kind of Malcolm X-y kind of frames that have like the black sort of frame on top with the metallic rim on the bottom.
Oh, yeah, that's hot for sure.
Okay, there you
definitely.
Go.
Definitely. Yeah, I like that.
Is the it black because Wayfarer is the only sunglasses that I've ever really fucked with, and Miles' response to you saying black Wayfarers just made me so self-conscious.
No, I like black Wayfarers. I think they're hot. Like the original ones. Yeah.
Not to say that they're, you know, I just feel like they're so pervasive. It's like definitely the lowest risk, but also because it's so pervasive, it's hard to even glean who the person could be when they're wearing a Wayfarer Ray-Ban. You know what I mean?
I'm not trying to see in someone's soul from their sunglasses. I'm just saying don't eliminate yourself off the bat with like some of these choices I can't tell what where you've been with your life.
Right. There's a very specific aesthetic. Yeah, that Oakley sunglasses is violence, I feel like.
Yeah, and I'm trying to open myself up to love, and a lot of these men aren't letting me do it with those sunglasses.
Yeah.
They're pushing you away with the optical choices.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's brutal. What is something you think is overrated?
Okay. I really have noticed I'm having a visceral reaction to the word epic. Everyone's been saying like, oh, this is an epic election time, like epic year. And I don't know if it's, well, I know it's because I'm from Orange County.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you watching the Quicksilver News Network? Yo, dude, epic returns coming in from Gwinnett County right now, bro.
No, but you know, like, I feel it's, I know it's because I'm from Orange County, because it's kind of, it's like if you, you drank too much tequila one night in high school, so you, like, never want to have Jose Cuervo again.
Yep.
Right, you know, right. I just don't want it in my life. Like, when I hear it, I'm like, look, I'm trying to move on. Like, you know what I mean? Please. Please don't use that word around me.
I feel like Epic has had its time, and we should just generally, I don't think it's just you. I think we should move on from Epic.
Thank you, Jock.
Yeah.
What do you like? You want something a little more grandiose?
Any of the other thousands of words that mean, yeah.
I don't even
grand,
know. Like,
awesome.
Epic synonym. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, it just reminds
legendary,
me.
Legendary, bro. Yeah. Monumental. Grandiloquent.
Krish.
It just reminds me of all the men that I thought I was in love with that had never read a book when I was young. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right, right, right.
I feel like Epic is like, I don't know. It reminds me of Reddit headlines from the early teens, like 20 yeah. teens. Yeah. Yeah.
I've never been on Reddit, but I believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just also like your idea or your concept, Blair, of someone who just doesn't only knows that to describe something and it just like doesn't quite hit the mark.
Right. Right.
You're like, I don't know, dude. It's like epic war crimes Azerbaijan is committing. It's like, wait, what?
No, I'm always just like, oh, no, please stop. Please. Right. No. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's talk
about.
Oh, no,
man, this income inequality gap is pretty epic, huh? What?
No, I'm getting goosebumps, like I'm shivering it off.
Well, speaking of epic, guys, there is some wild shit happening. I'm trying to think, like, when we last recorded, we had called the election, but I don't think it was as widely assumed that Biden had won. But Biden has won. He's going to win Pennsylvania. He's
but no one's actually
306 electoral votes. Right? Yeah, as of this recording, nobody's called it because I feel like everybody wants to be super careful, but they're being extra overly cautious to the point that it almost seems like something's different this time. I think the reality is people are being super careful because they don't want to give Trump the chance to, like, if they recall it or have to, like, recall a call.
Sure. I guess the other concern is in this period, it allows, as Steve Bannon says, they can flood the zone with shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's kind of in between. And I think it's, you know, like, everyone's looking. They're like, it seems like a foregone conclusion a bit. But yeah, I don't know. I guess they don't.
Yeah,
wanna...
I mean, the states are very close. So like they have the excuses. Like I read the AP's explanation of like why they haven't called it. And it's like, well, the numbers are less than 1%. And so like they have an excuse to cling to for sure.
Right.
But however, and so forth. So Trump, you know, had his press conference that we talked about last time where he alleged that the whole thing is being rigged and it's most unfair.
They're all against
election.
Me. Quinnipiac, Twitter, Faceman, my face, Tom, they're all against me.
I think a lot of people are waiting. I was on Twitter late last night, just refreshing, waiting for the call to come in that Biden had won the election. But like when I really stop and think about it, like I don't know what I'm waiting for, because when it's called, like Trump is just going to ignore it and come up with a conspiracy theory. And then his followers like that. I guess the thing that I'm waiting on is like whether any of the conservative media is going to stay in reality or if they're all just going to join the suicide cult.
Can't they just reject his like? You know, like the way Arizona was like, no, you're baseless.
Right. Yeah. No, legally, I don't think
he's
going
to drag it out.
Gonna...
Like, is he going to find a way to drag it for so long?
He's going to have to. That's the only way you can sort of prolong or sort of delay the inevitable, because the recounts, you know, while percentage wise, they're like within the zone where you can trigger a recount or ask for a recount. when you look at like how many votes usually like a recount may be able to change the outcome of, like the margins are just too big. Like yeah. You're not going to find, you know, I think what he's losing by 20,000 in Wisconsin. And even their last fucking ghoul governor, was it Tony
Scott Walker?
Scott Walker, Tony Scott, director. Scott Walker was even like, yeah, man, like that's a tall order. Like maybe like a 1,500, a couple hundred, 20,000. Like that's a, I think he said a high hurdle. And with
yeah, he basically said it's not going to happen. And Wisconsin is like probably the closest one.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania is going to end up, I think people are thinking it'll be like 3 percentage points that Biden's going to win by.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think, big.
Pretty significant. There's going to probably be a recount in Wisconsin and Georgia, but they're also saying like the chances that those will be overturned are, again, not very significant. Like I remember after the 2016 election, just to fully like acknowledge, I was not wanting to accept the reality that Trump had won and Hillary Clinton didn't do a recount in some of the states that were pretty close. And that was like a reality that I wasn't accepting, that like, yeah, it doesn't really, like, it's not going to overturn. We're not going to magically find tens of thousands of votes. Like good. That's, and Jill Stein like paid for it because she's a scam artist and like got a lot of people to pay her
chip
money.
Chip in on that. Yeah. With the,
Jill like, Stein.
The hope and dream. Maybe that recount will do something. Nah.
What I wonder what Jill Stein is up to now. Just fucking being messy and dramatic somewhere.
I think she's in the studio right now with Timbaland working on her next album. It's going to be pretty sick. I think they said it's a very much like a future sex love sounds, whatever that Timberlake album was.
Well, very innovative lady.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about what Trump can actually do besides concede.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. So, I mean, the first thing that would happen in a normal election would be a concession from Trump. And then, you know, that both tells his party, it tells his followers, okay, like, we're moving on. Like, we lost this one. This is how democracy works. And, you know, there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of people who don't want to admit when they've lost an election in the crowd. Ugh. When the politician gets up and gives that speech, there's a lot of booing. Usually they're like, no, don't do it.
Right. And
the politician just, you know, bites the bullet and admits defeat in every presidential election to this point. But I think this president, like, now that we are at that point, I think it's more likely that he would literally bite a bullet than actually concede.
He would eat a fucking 50 like a handful of 50 cal rounds at this point if he had to. Like, if I chew on these.
So it comes down to what the people around him are going to do, like the conservative media apparatus, like the giant propaganda wing that he exists inside, his family, since they are like a big part of like who works in the White House around him, and the other Republican politicians who've gone along with all his bullshit for so long.
Yeah.
I saw James Baker's, like, did you see his statement? Grandfather to my best friend. he was like, yeah, you know, this is not similar to the Bush election at all, actually. And yeah, he needs to, if he loses, he needs to concede.
Yeah.
Right. Well, but he's not. So it's just adding more fucking idiot fuel to the racist dumpster fire that is MAGA world at the moment. And, you know, he's like we're approaching the road where he's going to just, you know, transition all his supporters like off of reality, like even off of like Fox, where it's, you know, because they're starting to fracture. That relationship is starting to evaporate a bit. And yeah, like when you look at some of the takes coming out of some of the politicians in power and some of his, you know, flunkies, they're doing variations of different themes, right? Tommy Tuberville, you know, who's about to go into the Senate, he's out here fully on the MAGA wagon being like, the election results are out of control. I don't even know what that means because you're getting smashed. It's like the whistle has blown, the game is over, and the players have gone home. But the referees are suddenly adding touchdowns to the other team's side of the scoreboard.
Hey.
I'd challenge that as a coach. And real Donald Trump is right to challenge that as a candidate. That blah, blah, blah. Okay, so interesting. God,
that is the dumbest.
Yeah, let's see. Mitch McConnell, he's tweeting, you know, this is what needs to happen. Quote, every legal vote should be counted. Any illegally submitted ballots must not. All sides must get to observe the process, and the courts are here to apply the laws and resolve disputes. That's how Americans' votes decide the result. So that's a bit of he's doing a tightrope where he's doing the thing of like being like, well, yeah, of course, if anything was illegal, yeah, you'd want to extract that from the count. But they're doing it to be like, but because they exist, these illegal ballots, minority.
He's doing the thing where he is saying a thing that Trump would agree with that sounds like he's agreeing with Trump, but technically he's not saying, and there are illegal votes. He's just, you know, going along with it and trying to say something that will please both sides.
Right. You know, that we have people like Lindsey Graham going on Fox, and he's saying things like, fucking, let's try anything.
You're a lawyer also, Senator. We're hearing report after report.
Yes.
Election law is.
It's like he almost forgot he was a lawyer.
Right.
And Hannity reminded him, you're a lawyer. He like it like processed and he's like, yes, right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm right. Lawyer. I'm lawyer. Okay, going on.
It is clear that partisan observers can be there for the vote count. They're being denied access.
Yeah, right.
Now, if that part of the election law is violated. Now, we also know that the Constitution allows state legislators to serve, you know, they're the ones that would make decisions. Should these Republican lawmakers in Pennsylvania and elsewhere, if there's corruption in the law, they don't abide by the law and they don't allow observers in as...
First of all, try and even follow the argument Sean Hannity is trying to lay out. Like, he's even struggling because it's all fucking vaporware. Like,
right.
The but idea that the electors could change, yeah. that ship has set sail. If they were going to do that, they would have had to change those regulations before the election occurred.
So, well, like, no, but they can send different competing electors.
Yes.
Right?
And then the
isn't
Congress,
that what he's saying?
Yes. There, but that would just be so messy. And a lot of people are going to be like, I don't know. That's, again, I think this is why they're trying to build the political will to even try and do something like that. But again, the energy is low and they don't even know where they're headed with this. We'll go back to Lindsay.
As the chaos of this man.
Should they then invalidate this?
I think everything should be on the table. So there's the process of observing an election that's being violated. Philadelphia elections are crooked as a snake. Why are they shutting people out? Because they don't.
They're not.
They're not. So that's what old Lindsay's serving up on Fox. And then Newt Gingrich, he's out here as well, because if you remember, I think Trump actually called Newt Gingrich out in the East Room on election night when he claimed flawless victory, fatality, babality on the entire election. Now we have Newt Gingrich going out there with a little bit more of an extreme remedy.
What is the answer now that the law has been violated and observers have been kicked
hasn't
out?
Been.
The law has not been violated.
Doesn't it render the
first answer
the vote
for,
illegitimate?
The first answer is for the attorney. Look, the attorney general this afternoon issued an order that federal agents can carry guns in the pursuit of people who are breaking the law. That's a signal. The president should simply calmly announce that anyone who is caught attempting to steal votes or attempting to block people
from
making shirts on us.
It's already happened. The votes already been counted, and they didn't have observers that they were kept
they
away.
Did.
You take them back.
Not true.
As you say back? Flatly, any precinct that we were not able to observe, strip those votes out. Do not count them because they're by definition corrupt.
Uh huh. Anyway, the votes have been counted, so good luck
and
with that.
Counted with Republican and Democratic observers.
Like the poll workers.
All cases.
It's not like. What do they think, like Antifa and fucking, what's the dude from the Flyers, Gritty?
Right.
They're the ones counting the votes? Like, I don't understand. But again, this is what they have to do to sort of maintain the momentum for this, you know, parallel dimension in which it's not actually a loss, y'all. Like, let's not accept what reality is. But I think what we've seen is his supporters have done the best job of rejecting what is. You know, especially even when you couple that with the support he got from places that were being just hammered by the coronavirus still coming out. It's like there's a willful ignorance that is just only getting stronger and stronger.
The amount of things he's been able to do that no other president, like, it's scary because it's all designed for, like, that no one can wile out like this. But yet I don't have any faith that he just keeps doing it in a way that, like, no other president has, where I'm like, how are they going to get him out of the White House?
Right. So there's this Van Jones TED Talk where he just talks about the importance of the concession, like the concession speech, and telling people we lost, like, you can go to work tomorrow and just, you know, feel
regroup.
A little bit embarrassed, but we'll regroup, we'll move on to the next one. And I can't imagine any unqualified concession that, like, he got beat in this election. Like, it's not this guy. This guy's not going to do that. Like, I don't give a fuck if Ivanka, like, there's a Daily Mail article, so obviously can't fully be trusted, but it was saying that his supporters and his family, the people around him, are basically, like, drawing straws for who's going to, like, have to try and, like, stage the intervention and be like, yo, so the reality is, like, what you're doing right now is wild and a direct threat to, like, the actual survival of the country.
Dad, I have some hard news to tell you. You're actually really pale skinned. You're balding, and your penis is a mushroom, and you're not the president. Okay, been fighting that a lot for the last few years, but and also I don't know if Tiffany's even your daughter. So let's just keep that narcissist moment, though.
Like, I feel like it's not even about the country. It's just like about him and like a reflection of
It's his full lizard brain.
Yeah.
There's no other consideration being made.
The fact that they share all these qualities with a death cult, willing to die for this man, willing to, you know, the QAnon thing, like just willing to shut out all realities, willing to shut out their own families to support him. There was a person who, we don't know how serious the threat was, but they were allegedly driving to Philadelphia to attack one of the vote counting locations to stop the vote counting. That
driving up from Virginia, right?
Yeah, driving up from Virginia, and the Philadelphia police actually stopped them. You know, it's somewhere between the person showing up at Comet Pizza and, you know, trying to find the basement and realizing it's not there. But like not, you know, they were armed, but they didn't. They weren't seriously going to harm anybody once they found the basement wasn't there. It's between that and like an actual, you know, who the fuck knows what this person was planning on doing. But I think that we're really headed for a dangerous place for just the country and his base being mobilized to do violent things.
Yay, more to look forward to.
That's why I think it's bittersweet because, you know, it's firmly established that Trumpism is that's the other thing that exists firmly in the country.
Right.
How are we going to navigate that? How many of the people who were part of his base are willing to wake up from the fucking, you know, fantasy world they were in and be like, all right, fuck it. That I took an L there for 4 years. Maybe I just won't be as, you know, into this whole thing as possible and just quietly act like I never knew anything about it. But I think that's going to whittle it down to like the most hardcore people, because that's what's going to really be left when they see, you know, there will be a group of Trump supporters who will see Joe Biden be inaugurated and be like, yeah, this happened. Then I think you're going to have this other group who are just searching for any kind of answer or any kind of explanation, because in Q world, there has not been a Q drop in days since the election. Right. And it's leaving a lot of people in that world completely like just befuddled. They're like, but the plan, I thought they were marking the ballots with non-radioactive isotopic watermarks that would reveal the con job of the fact that the country, I guess, did not like this agenda or current trajectory.
If you don't realize that he's being quiet on purpose to send
a
message,
fool.
You're an idiot. Okay, but, know Q. Q is very cryptic, and when he's not talking, when he's not doing Q drops, he's saying as much as when he is doing Q drops.
He's in the lab with Jill Stein and Timbaland right now, working on a new album.
Crafting.
It's coming out. Yeah. But yeah,
Cry me a liver.
I need a new liver now.
I do. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's really what is going to be the real next inflection point, is how much autocratic thrashing goes on with Trump and trying to whip up these supporters rather than just letting it fucking fizzle out, and how people are going to usher in, you know, whatever this next administration is going to be. That's what makes it fucking.
Yeah. Biden's scheduled to address the nation at 8 p.m. And like Trump is also planning to have what is being described as a victory, like celebration, a victory rally, over the weekend. So like what happens as like the future of the world is just split into two separate realities? Like, then does Trump like create his own government in Virginia and we just like prepare for the next civil war? Like, it's very, very disturbing.
I don't know. He doesn't have that kind of organizational skills, you know.
Right.
I mean, it'll cleave off from whatever the GOP is now, and it could be this other third party thing. Because that's a big hat tip I think we're seeing from the Trump kids when they sort of rail against the GOP machine, being like, "Where are you? Like, you should be fighting tooth and nail." When they're kind of like, "Man, let's." Maybe this is our chance to like kind of regain control. But the problem is they were on board with it for so many years. That's what the party became. You just transitioned all the GOP voters into MAGA people. And that's the big issue.
But isn't like Ted Cruz is Team Trump. He's out here saying like that we need to.
The
keep
most
pushing.
Pathetic man in the
he's
world.
He's like, he's out here with it. And then you have the other people who are just doing the bare minimum shit, like, you know, Mitt Romney, who's like, "I'm going to repeat the law out loud in a tweet, and that will look radical," by saying you count votes in an election.
But like, other than Mitt Romney, I actually don't know if the Republican Party, like, so, you know, the Republican Party is Trump now. Like, he just had like the greatest turnout for a Republican Party candidate since Ronald Reagan in 1984. Like, I think the reason that these people are backing him, even though he's obviously lying, is because their support, you know, they recognize now that their supporters, like their entire constituency, believes everything Trump says. And like people have talked before about how Trump like just ruins anybody who like partners with him. He eventually like makes them just like sucks them dry of all like credibility makes them regret it. And like any Republican who has, you know, backed him in the past is now like, you know,
they're regretting it, but they also have
to keep going. Yeah.
Except for Kellyanne Conway, every day she's like,
"Yeah, she's." Yeah. I mean, she just took a big hit of adrenochrome, so she'll be all right for a couple hours. So
she comes back stronger from a Horcrux, just like kissing.
Right. The thing I'm curious about is like with, you know, you imagine you're a Trump supporter, right? And even on Fox, the vibe isn't like he's won. You know, it's like he's lost on paper. Maybe something's up. I don't know. And then for the people at that rally, like, is that really going to feel like a victory, even though he's saying it? Because there's a lot around you to suggest like, man, maybe not. And yes, it'll be nice to be amongst all the other supporters. But I'm curious to know if that it will be the energy of a like we actually believe or like we're ready to, you know, just reject reality together.
I think it'll be even stronger, just like hysteria and outright just.
It'll be like the Beatles just crying, like scream crying.
Yeah, because like this is the one place where they can feed off of one another and like create their own mystical realm where this reality is the one that actually like everybody around them believes.
Or just offer all these people like a Matrix style battery pod to be in where you can just go into the matrix of it being a MAGA rally for the rest of your life. I think some people would take that option.
But I really
it's already happening.
Yeah.
I do worry though, like that they are going to split off into their own. That's a lot of people who just voted for him. And you know, that's not insignificant to vote for somebody who just killed 240,000 of your country.
No, it was a curse. It was a curse from another dimension. That's why I can't be held responsible.
But I mean, going back to so let's say the Republicans do go with his gaslighting of the entire Democratic process and try to like basically sue and send their own electors to like in December to vote for the president. So like the Electoral College, doesn't that then go back to, isn't that what Hannity was saying, that like that goes back to the state legislature? And so like every state legislature that's controlled by the Republicans would go for Trump? Isn't that a possibility?
I haven't completely gamed out legally like how that all works. I mean, I've read about like that possibility. It's a combination of like, yeah, it's possible, probably feasible, even, but is there that the will of that many people to do it? Like, I get in Pennsylvania, there are very willing actors there, but is that a majority of the Republicans that are willing to go that far with it? Because, you know, there's still people who are attorney or, you know, secretaries of state or other Republicans who are in these positions who are still like, I mean, like, if we won, sure, but like, this is like, it's becoming a bit of a stretch. So I think what it all boils down to is it's going to boil down the super hardcore people from the ones that are like now after the fact, never Trumpers who are like, all right, this is done. Sorry. Like, I can't do this anymore. But there are those
people. I'm never going to be comfortable in a world where we're relying on Mitch McConnell and like Republicans to have a crisis of not even consciousness, but just of like embarrassment because proven to be so shameless.
But they've still like their best shots were coming from a lot of these lawsuits, you know, to do any kind of tactic, like any kind of tactical maneuvering that could have, you know, eked out some margins. But that strategy isn't there. Of course, these people are craven. That's why we're even just like, yeah, sure, Joe Biden on paper wins. But the next part is just to see how they're able to envision a future and what that looks like transitionally.
When I saw Biden speak like two nights ago or something, and he was like, said, I got teary because he said, if I, you know, like when I win, I will be a president even for the people who didn't vote for me. And I mean, whatever, say what you want about Biden, but it truly felt like when someone is nice to you after on a like a date after like an abusive relationship, I was like, oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, just all relative to the last thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like he's like the paramedic that shows up like after a car accident and puts like a solar blanket on you. And you're like, I love you.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But, I mean, that's that's where we're at, too. And I think that's another thing to watch out for is the complacency, even for people who are on the like who are Democrats or voted for Joe Biden, because I see a lot of takes already of people being like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, we can go back to not paying attention.
Oh, thank God.
Well, it's the lesser of two evils, you know, but
sure.
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
guess that's the thing is, I think
complacency,
conveys or exposes a sort of perception of where the country is and where it needs to be too, when people just go, oh, thank God Joe Biden is it, and then problem solved, because the only problem in the country was that Trump was the president.
Right. Yeah.
And that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
You're also seeing a take that, like, you know, people being doing, I mean, it's something that we saw in 2018 as well. You know, people thanking black women directly for saving the Democratic Party.
Yeah. The turnout of people of color ensured a Trump loss, you know, like in Michigan, Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania, Arizona, fucking Georgia, everywhere. Stacey Abrams, she passed up a Senate run because she was like, no, man, there's fuckery going on down here. And I'm here to just try and make sure that this state goes in the right direction for this next presidential election. And she did. Now, I totally understand this is all commendable, but the kinds of takes that you see are like really weird, where they're just like, we need to all thank black women, or people of color saved us from Trump, or Stacey Abrams deserved yes, I understand, thank you, but we understand that black people, especially black women, have been coming out the endgame portal on the regular to save the Democrats, like just to be like, okay, fuck it, here we go again, because as a block, it's very consistent. But the repayment that, you know, we're asking for is not a pat on the back, like some kind of farm animal that just helped till a field. You know what I mean? The repayment needs to be an acknowledgement of the threats that motivated us to come out in numbers this year. It's not that we just came out because we think Trump is bad. We're coming out because we have a failed justice system. We have a tremendous wealth gap. We have a lack of opportunity to own homes, to get educated, like in the sense of like trying to any kind of upward mobility. So that, like, it's these existential threats that are being faced by people of color, and we are forced to act because that's what is on our doorstep. And I think a lot of white voters made it clear where they stand when it comes to racial injustice. But there are also a decent amount of white voters that voted against Trump because they saw what time it was too. Like they saw the uprisings over the summer, and a lot of people said, I'm actually here. Racial injustice is actually a huge motivator for me to be here, which is great. You love to see it. So that energy needs to keep going, because it can't just be like, thank God Stacey Abrams helped out. Thank God it's this and that. There needs to be, like, I think this needs to be seen as a mandate from people of color in this country, because Nancy Pelosi is already out here saying, like, it looks like we have a, you know, already a tremendous mandate from the Democratic agenda. But let's be real here. People of color came out in force because to reject Trumpism and to try and give this, you know, party a chance to do the right thing. So when you look at it all, right, of just how everything's looking, America is going to be a minority white country within the next 22 years or so. Yeah. People under the age of 16 are already showing that for the first time, like whites are less than 50% of that demographic for people under the age of 16. So there's like people of color are the reason this country is growing, too. And it's evolving. And America isn't just a thing about whiteness, although that seemed to be what was on the ballot for a lot of people. Was about whether or not America is defined by its whiteness and de facto racism, white supremacy, and things like that. But we don't even have leaders that look like the country and are so out of touch with this reality, too. And rather than talking about how much of a queen Stacey Abrams is, which she is, and thank God for her and the work that she did, and many activists and organizers across the country, thank God for that. But give thanks by truly aligning yourself with the fight against racial injustice and against inequality, because that is what is motivating us to come out to motivate in numbers, because we are like, this is fucked up. The only way we have a shot to live like these white people is to get out and vote for the hopes that these white people that are in charge may tinker the laws a bit to allow for more opportunity or equality to flow our way. And it's not just because Trump sucks. He is the manifestation of all the nightmares that people of color have had to endure. And we have to pull up again like the fucking Dora Milaje, because this motherfucker looks like Thanos to us. He doesn't look like a joke where you'd be like, he's an obese turtle, whatever. His fucking administration is like, he is out here getting all these police officers gassed up on some like, the, you know, you fucking treat him rough. You know, and acting like he is going to side with them in the event that, you know, they want to indiscriminately kill people of color in the streets. So the status quo has been destroying our communities, and it's only a matter of time because until it gets to your community. That's just the trajectory this country's on. So now just the thing is, the respect has to come in the form of not these like handwritten letters or a gift basket and things like that, because that's temporary. Show the respect of the sacrifices or the energy that people of color have put into this election by treating these threats the same way we do, as existential threats that have no space to be fucking casual about, to say, well, maybe that won't be a problem for me until 2024, 2028. Just like read the room. So if they're going to show up, the platitudes aren't going to do it. That doesn't change anything for people. It's about like saying, fuck. They've again, time and again, these people have come out to, you know, even though this nation has mistreated people of color so terribly, this time to repay our undying faith in this fucking thing. Because half the time, most people of color are like, I don't know why the fuck we even try. But yet we go out all the fucking time to fight for this shit, because there is a promise that there is something that could be better, because We've seen it incrementally over 400 years, but it's not happening fast enough. But we know there's a possibility. So just please just join this fight in the same way we are. And rather than just saying, thanks a lot, black and brown voters.
Yeah, treating it as a one-off.
Thanks a lot.
It needs this to is be a, systemic.
We are speaking to y'all. You know what I mean? Yeah. And for all the fucking nonsense where people are like, well, I don't know, the Black Lives Matter stuff might really set back the Democratic Party if they embrace that. That the rise in registrations came directly after the uprisings.
Yeah. AOC tweeted that stat, like that the Democrats were badly losing in registrations during the pandemic because Republicans didn't believe there was a pandemic, I guess. So they were out there still registering voters. And then the thing that closed the gap and even like allowed the Democrats to have more registered voters was the George Floyd protest.
Yeah. But yes, thank you.
Yes.
To all, everyone who voted, you know, yes. And but even then, right? The problem is, and we keep saying this, it doesn't end here because we still have a president who's like, I don't know, maybe refund the police.
Yeah, shoot them in the
leg.
I don't
know what the aim
lower.
That's not the fucking solution. And if you're going to ride to the fucking White House on the backs of these votes, have the fucking decency to acknowledge what your base looks like, what they're saying, and what the future of this country is looking like, and begin to move with that. Because this incremental shit is not working. So yes, there's hundreds of write-ups being like, really save now. But I would implore every person to really don't just, you know, thank a black person today for voting, or thank a brown person for voting today, or thank a marginalized person for voting. It's actually saying, you know what, I'm going to treat this shit as seriously as you do, because this is what America is. And that's the direction it needs to be going in, not this like, I'll wait till the floodwaters get to my door.
Yeah.
Because they've consumed whole communities already.
This administration cannot have been a one-off thing that we're now going back to ignoring politics, which I keep seeing people saying that, like, finally I can go back to just not paying attention. And like, that's not an acceptable take anymore.
It surprisingly motivated some Trump voters to flip.
Yeah.
Merely just the idea that they're like, I don't know, like Trump being in office makes everyone like have to be like proper or woke or whatever. Like, I just want to go back to, you know, posting pics from pro Bass Shop,
right.
Bass Pro Shops or whatever. So I'm voting for Biden just to get something back to quote unquote normal.
Right.
But I think that's the thing, is we have to realize normal is fucked up. Normal is violent. And we're trying to actually move, you know,
this needs to have been a permanent wake up call. Yeah.
But we'll see. And I think that's the thing that scares me, is whether or not it will serve as that, because this came fucking close and we're still not out of the woods yet.
No.
But if we do get out, then don't fuck this up.
Yeah.
Because the struggle still continues.
Yeah.
It's right there. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about pizza.
Hey. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and I'm curious what everybody, I've been eating the shit out of some Halloween candy. I've been eating just endless bowls of cereal, just feeding my anxiety with just garbage food. Like, what vices have you been partaking in over the past couple of days, or have you been? Are you stronger than me?
I'm not joking. I got this Halloween candy right.
Oh my god, Miles. It's like a barrel, a tub, a keg.
I got some loose Butterfinger wrappers that I
eat. Some Lucy's.
Yes. Yeah, got a couple Lucy's Butterfingers I'm hitting throughout the day. What's funny is, like, I've been so stressed I haven't been eating as much.
Yeah.
I've kind of been the same way, which is, you know, if you know me, people would be worried.
Yeah, you're pasta gang.
Yeah, I I did ball out with like a massive vat of pad thai on Tuesday. I was
me
like,
too.
I need this. And like, yeah, I lit up a J, and then all of a sudden it was gone in like 1 second, and I couldn't eat for like 48 hours.
Damn. Yeah, I don't know. It's starting to dissipate now, but I don't know. Like, I think for anybody who's been like listening for this entire week, like it feels like a just fight or flight on mic constantly.
Yeah.
But now I don't know. I think my body is getting to the point where it's like, I don't know. You need to fucking sleep a whole day and like
eat salad.
Like 9 pizzas. Yeah, yeah. Like you need a carbo load to make up for it. Yeah.
Oh man, I can't wait. Till my wife is getting Barry Weiss is getting back into town this weekend. I'm so looking.
And you're gonna
forward
eat pizza with her?
I'm gonna eat pizza, but I'm also gonna be able to sleep and not, you know, my kids wake up at like 6 in the morning every morning and they're just like, hey,
and
let's
and
go.
And you're gonna experience
time to
love
party.
And connection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Safety.
I'm gonna experience getting to sleep in.
Yeah, because Jack's eyes right now are lower than a 64 Impala. I'm tired,
yeah,
my man.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm so tired.
But this other thing, so, you know, we were talking about what we've been eating because Grubhub, you know, thank God we can move on to some slightly lighter fare for the moment in the interim of taking breaths between whatever the next phase is. But they're saying like, hey, you know, we got some data from Election Day, seeing what kind of orders Grubhub was getting the last couple of days, and by far, and it makes sense, the winner is pizza, number one with a bullet. Yes, it says 5 of its top 8 most popular items were pizzas, and then the other one was pizza adjacent appetizer, garlic knots or garlic bread or some kind of garlic thing with marinara sauce.
Oh, I thought you were gonna go wings, but close enough. Yeah. Wait, does this podcast come out today? It does.
Yeah,
right?
It's going to come out later today.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say where I was going on a date tonight in regards to this. I can't tell because what if
then
someone
people
comes
are going to show up?
Yeah, and they want to come on my date with me.
Why? Is there only one of this restaurant?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's not Olive Garden then. Okay.
That would be dope. Just as an experiment, just see if anyone was dedicated enough. And actually, and then they're like mad polite, but they'll just take like low-key photos of you from across the restaurant.
Honestly, I love Zyte Gang so much. I had no idea the power of this community until I went on the road last year. And there was like, I met so many.
Oh, well, but now you've become your own thing. You know, I see the write-ups. They're clocking you. You know what I mean?
And
we can just say, like, I hope she remembers us.
My fucking dudes from day one.
So the other thing that was the top rated item was alcoholic in nature, and that was margaritas. So
I
people
saw
were
that I just saw that on my timeline. Like, people just talking about...
Who orders margaritas from Grubhub?
I don't know.
What? That's the weirdest shit I've ever heard.
I think it indicates exactly who that is, which is like a very wealthy, maybe Biden supporter who's like, I don't know, fire up the gig economy app and have someone bring us alcohol as we get through this, as we vote against their interests in Prop 22. Like, I could just see this really fucked up picture.
Just like a contained 8 ounces. I know I shouldn't, but I will. I'll just...
Yeah. Right.
No, I don't keep the bottles in my home because I don't know what would happen, but I'll just get an 8-ouncer.
Yeah. Right. But I get, you know... Margaritas, like I get why you, but doesn't it feels like such a dated cocktail? I guess second place they said old fashions being delivered.
Old fashioned? What the
margaritas?
Fuck?
I feel like
do these people live
only...
in a steakhouse?
Sorry. Oh no, yeah, right. In a wet
margarita
salad.
Margarita is like once you pop it, it's like I don't care what all bets are off. Is what I feel like.
Are you? Margaritas. Do you drink margaritas when you're out ever, Blair?
No, I don't. I mean, I will if someone like orders them for the table or something.
Like
but
a
yeah,
pitcher, and you're at a Mexican restaurant, they're like, "Yo, we get a pitcher."
Yeah, I don't. I think they're. I don't like sweet drinks, so they always taste like syrupy to me. You know?
Yeah, so
what, do you drink,
syrupy.
Like, Fernet Branca. Like-
I love that you think I'm fucking classy as hell, dude. No.
You're like, nah, Papa Vodka, straight out the fucking plastic pint.
I actually roll around town with my own handle of Goldschlager. no, I just usually drink wine like a classy, refined bitch or like vodka. Yeah. I keep it clean.
Nice.
Oh, keep it clean?
Yeah, just, you know, clear fuels.
Yeah. And you just drink it straight? That's like...
No, a vodka soda.
Just straight from the bottle. Just straight out.
straight from the bucket.
Plastic bottle. No, that'd be terrible for my skin. I would never.
Is vodka bad for your skin?
No, just drinking in general.
Yeah, drinking
is
bad for you. Yeah.
Yeah, it weathers you. It weathers you. There's some people I'm worried about, like, not that I'm worried, like, because they're like have substance abuse problems, like, but people who I know drink throughout the like quarantine, like that's their thing. Like, I'm a weed smoker, I'm not really a drinker.
Yeah.
Like when you haven't seen somebody for like 8 months and you're like, oh shit.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I worry, you know, in comedy, there are quite a big amount of addicts, and I worry about everyone so much, really, because it's so much alone time, and like there's just some bit, it's crazy. There's just the world is on fire.
Do the Zoom meetings, y'all. The Zoom meetings work.
I'm doing them, babe.
Yeah.
You can find me in the 12-step Zoom.
Yeah. They're the best. And you can find them anytime. I have a link to the, to one like LA based Zoom meeting list that has meetings like literally every hour around the clock. But yeah, they're not as good as the in person, but they work. They get it done.
Hey, Zoom therapy has been good enough for me.
Yeah. On that note, that incredible note.
Shout out to telehealth.
All right, Blair, it's been a pleasure having you as always.
Oh my God, it's so great to see you guys, especially I'm glad it got it in the end times.
Yeah. Before just the world melts down.
What are you going to do this weekend?
What am I? Well, I'm going on that date tonight.
Oh yeah.
An outdoor show tomorrow night. I decided November I'm going to make myself date. Like, what an incredible month to get out there.
Right. Yeah.
On the scene.
What is it? Is it a restaurant that's like outdoors or how?
Yeah. It's outdoors. And I've like I really haven't been doing the outdoor restaurant thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was tempted to do that this past weekend at this Korean place. Koreatown's really fucking with the outdoor restaurants, like turning their parking lots into dining rooms.
I don't know. It's weird to date, like, because I've been getting tested a ton for work, and I've been like careful, and I live alone and stuff. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you have to like trust the other. It's like another level. I'm like, you got tested, and you're being safe.
I know.
Like, yeah, totally.
Yeah. That's a great impression of the guys that Blair dates.
You see some, like, Oakley wraparounds back there?
What?
You were wearing Wayfarers in your photo. Oh, yeah, that's just for the profile pics. I wasn't getting a lot of play when I had my Oakleys on. Oh, my God. What's this restaurant we're going to? Oh, sick-ass Bass Pro Shop shaped like a pyramid.
Oh, my God.
We're gonna catch our dinner.
Oh, no.
I'm so scared now. Oh, God.
Where can people find you and follow you, Blair?
You can find me, as always, at Blair Sockey, BlairSocci, on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
Say
yeah.
hello.
Yeah, do it.
I love you guys.
Is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, I'm famously taking a little break from the old internet, but I creeped on just for this exercise, and I saw some funny tweets. My friend Amy Miller, she said, waiting for one network to get ballsy and be like, fuck it, Biden wins. Could be Freeform. Who cares? My friend Marsha Belsky, can't lie, Jake Tapper saying he will be physically removed if necessary made me horny. Mom, do not reply to this tweet. And then one more, sorry. D-Wayne Perkins, coastal elite? I find that offensive. I was also elite when I lived in the Midwest. It's just kind of a vibe I give off, LOL.
I'm just better than you. Those are great. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram at Miles of Gray, and then the other one, 420 Day Fiance, and also just various other things this week. Oh, including Deckheads with Anna and Nick Turner, because I do watch The Below Deck, and there's a new season out. There's a couple tweets that I like. Let's see, actually just one, and it's from Jaquise Neal, at Jaquise Neal. He just said, now that Trump is out, fingers crossed, I can finally enjoy the Cubs winning the World Series on November 3rd, 2016.
That's funny.
That feels like something, shit. Yeah, that would have, yeah, that tracks.
I totally forgot that.
If you had any, I mean, again, it's hard to like, I so badly want to exhale just in terms of like this administration being over. But then there's also that just lifelong cynicism that will live in me infinitely as a American. But yeah, I just if you can't give yourself a break, please do, because at least on paper it looks like things are going well. So
yeah,
maybe we'll hold on to those papers as they drag us into the QAnon gulags. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. We'll be waving the papers in the
sky.
But the papers. Couple tweets I've been enjoying. Leslie at just Miss Les tweeted, I want Maury cameras chasing him around the White House today. Find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding out on today?
In the case of the 2020 election, Donald Trump, you are not the president.
Boom.
Oh, my God. Can I see now? Well, I hope I can see it. A tweet I like. Let's go with a track by Slide Camp, and it's called Realm Sweeper. I don't know. Felt like the title felt cool, but the track is very laid back. It feels like, if you remember F-Zero or something, like if they made a live-action F-Zero movie, like this would be the like theme song to it. I don't know. I like to always like hear music and be like, yo, that would be a sick version of this video game turned into a movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, Realm Sweeper, Slide Camp, get into it. And then, fuck, I don't know, take a break, yo.
All right, guys, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this afternoon. We'll probably be back later on if something wild happens. Tell you what's happening. Give our reacts. And then again on Monday. Till then, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Get some sleep, Jack.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.